Good morning. It's good to be here again. We want to open up the Word of God this morning, which is what that music video was encouraging us and stirring us. And entitled today, Beyond, the Eternal Living Word. We are only going to get through part of this today. When I told my wife I had 9 pages of notes, she said, honey, maybe you should think about splitting it in two, but anyhow.
You're welcome.
She did ask me if she could have the car keys just in case, so I thought, wow. Anyhow. I want to read a scripture to you this morning because it's one that I have been talking about and alluding to that I hadn't yet quoted. Matthew 24:24. And Jesus was talking about the end times with the disciples and the people who are around him. And he said this, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time. I want to tell you a couple stories, and I think that some of these are far enough past that it won't be troublesome in some ways, but years and years ago, when the prophetic movement was big, everybody was running to prophetic conferences here and there, everybody was wanting to go hear the latest prophetic person and stuff like that, and at one point, somebody gave me a cassette tape from one of the conferences they had been to and said, we'd like you to listen to this. So, okay. So I was riding in my car one day and I put the cassette in and I listened to the message. The teaching was on intercessory prayer and I thought, well, this is all right. At the end of the message, a very well-known, prominent person comes and declares that God has told him that if he summoned the archangel Michael, that Michael would come. And at the same time, he says that in the midst of all of this, that All around this auditorium, there were warring angels just waiting to be dispatched. And you can hear a lot of rustling, a lot of things taking place. And all of a sudden, he goes, "Here they come!" And in the background, I could hear people screaming and carrying on. I was so angry that I pushed the button on my cassette player. I threw the cassette on the floor and I said, "This is the kind of crap that people don't realize that we are so easily sucked into that has no biblical merit whatsoever." I was angry because I thought, when people who in my mind should know better are giving me this, I think, do we not realize that anytime you start getting into extra biblical quote unquote revelation, we are in danger? 2 weeks later, I was riding down the road again, and I actually felt like the Holy Spirit said, "Play it again." And I said, "And get mad all over again? I'm just getting over it." "No, play it again." And so I listened to it again. And I felt at the end of it that the Holy Spirit actually spoke again, and he said, "This is the importance of people having a biblical foundation and understanding." Because, folks, the Bible is clear. The way that people will get led astray is both by lying prophets and lying preachers. And in many cases, it's because it's prophets and preachers that people trust. Give you another scenario. Most of you probably wouldn't have maybe been involved in this, but years and years ago, there was a big movement that came out, and it all had to do with spiritual mapping. People were seeing that there were geographical places in that, and they would map stuff out, and people went as far as to go drive stakes in different places and, you know, declare stuff and call down principalities and powers and do all of that kind of stuff. And I had a very good friend who, very godly man, I have never seen anybody who has such a sense and presence and awareness of the Holy Spirit. But he had got involved in this. He was to a conference, thought this was a good thing to do. And he said, "One night, Jim," he said, "at the end of my bed," he said, "a demonic presence appeared to me that was larger than anything I'd ever seen." And he said, "Godly or not," he said, "I was absolutely paralyzed with fear at the presence of this demonic entity." And he said, "I got up and I tried to run away. Anywhere in my house that I went, this demonic entity followed me, and I knew that he wanted to take my life." Now, again, had I not known the man so well, I would have thought this is... He finished off but saying that, "I came to the realization that biblically you could find no merit for what was being taught in the whole area of spiritual mapping and regional or territorial principalities and powers." And so he said, "I repented and asked God for forgiveness." And he said, "I felt like I got freedom in the midst of that." Years ago, John Paul Jackson wrote a book called Needless Casualties of War. And in it, he was talking about the fact that churches, Christians, people were having undue, unnecessary battles and went through a whole lot of stuff that was taking place. And these are his words. He said, "Because people are throwing hatchets at the moon." Now, again, if you read the book, one of the things that he was talking about, because it was very prominent at the time, is, again, people were going into the heavenlies and trying to call down principalities and powers and territorial spirits. And for me, I was looking at this whole thing and I said, "I don't see anywhere in the scripture where anybody ever tried to take on a territorial spirit. Nor do I ever see anywhere where people try and call something down out of heaven. Look at the life of Jesus. Did you ever see him do it? He was the Son of God. In the same sense, the only time that you ever even allude to something, even in Peter, it talks about the fact that people who are like dumb, unreasoning animals try and rebuke something, mainly the devil, who they have no idea. And it says even the archangel Michael wouldn't rebuke him except to say, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, again, I'm not trying to be harsh or hard-hearted. I'm trying to say that the reason I keep trying to tell people, you need to read your Bible, because if, as people continue to say, they think we're living in the last days, the Bible's very clear. It's going to be easy to deceive even God's elect. And one of the reasons is because this will not be firmly rooted and grounded in your heart and mind. Because when it is, and as I said before, even listening to preachers, there's times where they were preaching and I would say, it doesn't say that. Now, it's not that I'm a master of my Bible, but there are things that I know that I know, and there's other things that if I don't know, I look it up and I still say, it didn't say that. And I'm trying, as your leader and somebody who preaches, to encourage people about the dire necessity to actually know your Bible. And again, the Message paraphrase said it this way, and I like what it says. If anyone tries to flag you down, calling out, "Here's the Messiah," or points, "There he is," don't fall for it. Fake messiahs and lying preachers are going to pop up everywhere. Notice, their impressive credentials and dazzling performances will pull the wool over the eyes of even those who ought to know better. And again, he says, but I've given you warning. There's two things, actually three things, that I tell people. First of all, when the Spirit of God moves or God's doing something, there's three tests that it should happen every time. First of all, does it line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you should toss it right away. Second of all, the Holy Spirit is within us. The Bible says that His Spirit should bear witness with our spirit. Folks, I have to tell you, over the years, I've been places, I've been in situations that something didn't quite settle right. It doesn't mean that I chucked it away. I just put it on a shelf. I thought, Lord, if this is you, confirm it in my spirit. If it's not you, just let me put it aside. The other thing is the body of Christ. What's God speaking? What's God saying in the midst of who we are? That's why we have a community. That's why the danger is when people are isolated believers and they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to speak, confusion can come. And so again, I'm going to continue to appeal. I'm going to share some more things. I won't get to it all today. But the importance of this living word being living and active in each and every one of us. I started this a couple weeks ago, and I was actually in 1 Peter chapter 23, verse 25. It says, "For you have been born again, not to a life that quickly ends. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living Word of God." That's where you base it on. That's where our salvation comes from. Comes from the Word of God. Comes from Christ Jesus Himself. He goes on to say this, as the scripture says, people are like grass, their beauty is like a flower in the field, the grass withers and the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord remains forever. The Bible to each one of us is the living, enduring word of God. It's interesting the analogies that he uses, because how many of you know most things don't last forever? Most things don't live forever. And he uses the analogy there that, you know what, the grass grows, the flowers grow, they wither and soon fade away. However, the Word of God will never wither, never, ever fade away, because it's His eternal Word that He's given us. Isaiah 48 said, "The grass withers and the flowers fades," which is where the quote, "but the Word of God stands forever. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. I've been saying this. Part of the problem is we don't realize how far our country has strayed. But early on, people knew that if you wanted an education, the Bible had to be a part of that education. If you want an eternal education, the Bible was the utmost part of that. William Lyons, who was a professor and orator of Yale University and the director of the Hall of Fame in New York City, said, "Everyone who has a thorough knowledge of the Bible may truly be called educated. I believe a knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without the Bible." He said that one of the pilgrims who came over on the Mayflower had a college education, but they were nevertheless an educated people because they knew their Bible. The great educator concludes, no group of people can be rightly described as uneducated who read and know their Bible. What's happened in our education system today? Anybody, what's happened? Well, we've totally pitched it out. And not only that, what about in our universities? Not only have they pitched it out, they mock it, they make fun of it. And so here we don't realize we have our students growing up, going to school, and being educated in a sense that says if you can't touch it, feel it, smell it, see it, it doesn't exist. Science proves it all. And then we wonder why we're coming into a place where we're having our young people coming out of our schools and the education system, and even people who are going to colleges coming out who had a faith who have no faith at all. And the biggest reason is even when I'm talking about lying prophets and preachers, we don't have people in our school systems, and most of us, our kids are not biblically educated enough to compare what's being taught to what the Word of God says. And the problem of it is what's being believed is not the Word of God. Now, there's a bunch of us in here who are gray-haired people. A bunch of us went through the time when the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of those things were prevalent as a part of our Christian walk, prevalent as a part of our life of faith. And many, many of our young people want nothing to do with something that was a bedrock to who we've been. And a lot of times is because we can't figure it out in our minds. Huge, huge issue. Henry Van Dyke, who was once professor of English at Princeton, said, "No other book in the world has had such a strange vitality, such an outgoing power of influence and inspiration. No man is poor or desolate who has this treasure for his own." There are thousands of great educators who would have said the same. Interestingly enough, if you went back to Yale today or Princeton today, you know those things would be totally forgotten about. They wouldn't even give the Bible the time of day. And yet the early educators said this is where real education comes from. When you know the Bible, in a sense, you are always up to date on all that matters. I'm going to say that again. When you know your Bible, you are always up to date on all that matters. To know the mind of Christ through His Word is to have ultimate wisdom. Think about this. The enemy of our soul, Satan, knows that the greatest obstacle to his power in people's lives is the Word of God, the Bible. If you don't think this is true and you think about the sense of fighting fire with fire, well, what do I mean by that? When John Wycliffe gave the people, the common people, the Bible and their language, he was so hated for giving the Bible in their language that 30 years after he died, they were so enraged that they had his body exhumed, his bones burned, and thrown into the river. Can you imagine such hatred? I can, because we see it today. That was just one of the early ones. John Huss was tried by the Council of Constantine as a Wycliffe heretic. The council urged Huss to recant in order to save his life, but to the majority of a member, he was a dangerous heretic, fit for only death. When he refused to recant, he was solemnly sentenced on July 6, 1415, and burned at the stake. Think about this. These are people who are just translating the scripture and translating it into a language that people could read and understand. And who was it that was actually so uptight about it? It was the people who were the religious of the day who wanted to keep people in the dark. How many Bibles do you have in your house? You don't have to answer me. What we don't realize is that for most of us, Bibles are easily accessible, and many of us have several. I have over 10, at least. I've never thrown a Bible away from when I first started preaching 40 years ago. Still have them, still have the notes. And part of it I read through and I think, boy, you didn't know a whole lot. And then there's times I look at it and I say, you still don't know a whole lot. But the precious word of God, I keep them. I look through them from time to time. That we have Bibles, we owe much to William Tyndale, who sometimes was called the father of the English Bible. 90% of the King James Version of the Bible, 75% of the Revised Standard Versions are from the translations of the Bible into English made by William Tyndale. In August of 1536, he was condemned. On this day, October 6, 1536, he was strangled. His body was burned at the stake, and his last prayer was, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." The prayer was answered in part when 3 years later, in 1539, Henry VIII required every parish church in England to make a copy of the English Bible available to their parishioners. Folks, I've been places around the world where people would do anything to have a whole copy of the Word of God. Last year when I was traveling, didn't realize that one of the reasons most people in countries where the government still exercises a lot of control keep the Bible on their phone instead of having a paper copy. Because if they're stopped and searched, they rarely search their phone. Think about it. And yet, how many of us have ample Bibles in our home, and what do we do with them? What's happening with them? Once people got the word into their own language, they were no longer being enslaved to the powers of darkness, and in many senses, even to religion itself. They were liberated by the light of the gospel. Jesus actually said in John 8, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? The truth shall set you or make you free." The truth. The truth. Not your truth. Not my truth. Not somebody else's truth. The truth of this. See, even in that, we've learned to spiritualize and make things, and we've twisted and turned, and we've tried to make things in here say what we want it to say, but it still keeps us in bondage. The Bible says if you know the truth actually will make you free. That's what it does. Once you are free to know the will of God, you should never be content with less than total liberty in Christ Jesus, because that's what he gave it to us for. That's why the Bible is so hated by those who want to keep the people in dark and in bondage. I say, what did people know way back when they started having big fights to take the Bible out of school? whole separation of church and state. And yes, our Supreme Court, the greatest court in the land, has a copy of the Ten Commandments inscribed on the walls around it. And I think, if this isn't judicial schizophrenia, what is? Think about it. To know the Word of God, to know the Bible. George Washington said, above all, the pure and benign light of revelation has had ameliorating influence on mankind and increased the blessing of society. It's impossible to rightly govern the world without the Bible. Boy, if somebody would just listen to that today, huh? Amen? Thomas Jefferson, who authored the Declaration of Independence, was one of the great men of America, said this, "I have always said," I like that, "I have always said and always will say that the studious perusal of the sacred volume will make better citizens, better fathers, and better husbands. The Bible makes the best people in the world." You can hear all of that. The only way you can prove it to yourself is to actually do what I've been encouraging. And I'm not just saying read it. You can read it as a religious exercise and check it off your list. But to read it. Remember, I shared years ago that I would open up the Bible when I was going to study, and I'd actually lay my hands on it and say, "Lord, I need to know that I know that I know." You could very simply say, "Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak to me today through your word." He will. He's faithful. I'm going to close with this morning, and I want you to think about this. To know God, you must know his word. To honor God, you must honor his word. To be in touch with God, you must be in touch with his word. His mighty promises are given to those who master the Bible so well that the Bible masters them. I wish I could say I was totally there. I don't think I'll ever be there till Jesus returns. But I have a desire to allow the living word to continue to help me, teach me, instruct me, direct me. If you find it hard and tedious, ask the Lord, "Lord, give me a love for the reading of your word." Don't go and try and find passages that are hard to understand that you don't understand. Ask God to lead you to places that the Holy Spirit will speak life into you through his word. I shared this a week ago. I was going through the book of Job in the first, 28, 29 chapters or whatever. I thought, this is terrible. This is just depressing. And this is just a display, in a lot of senses, of stupidity. And then I get to the end. And God says to Job, he asked him 49 questions. And in those 49 questions, this is how he, since you know, answer me. Since you know, answer me. And we all know that Job finally came to the point and he said, "God, forgive me. I don't know. Your ways are way too wonderful. Your wisdom is far beyond. I don't know." Not that we'll always know everything, but we'll know a whole lot more when we study this book than if we don't. Amen? Father, thank you, Lord, today. Lord, I'm praying today. I don't want to come across to try and dictatorially make people read the Bible, simply an appeal, Lord. History would prove it. When people have the Word of God, when people know the Word of God, when people are truly educated with the Word of God being the first course of education, the first place of education. History would tell us people can be in a better place, not perfect. But Father, if we look at our society today, it's very obvious that there's been an abandonment of the Word of God. And the truth that can set people free is not setting people free because they don't know it. Father, help us today. Help us to be a people of the Word. Help us to be people who read your Word, who digest your Word. We just thank you and we praise you, Father God, for your living Word speaking and moving in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.